is on Sky Sports Radio.
Little Sydney is back this April at Royal Randwick, where fashion meets flair and fame meets fortune. You never know who you might meet when Sydney's social set comes out to play. Indulge with Sydney's finest eateries and providors, Catalina, China Doll and Victor Churchill, and make it an experience with all the style and glamour you deserve. Don't miss out. Visit www.theatc.com.au and secure your ticket today.
Heading back to school or uni, or just around the corner? Bingley has got all your computing needs covered with fantastic bargains from all the best brands. Head into Bingley today and grab a hot back to school and uni bargain while stocks last.
We're getting ready.
Gonna look our best.
Everyone's on their way.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The Country Championships are coming to Goulburn.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's more than horses and fashion. It's a cool, hip place to play.
So come on, get in, get down. See the best horses around.
The Championships, Goulburn, Saturday, February 18.
Summer brings out the best in harness racing.
And time for Pacing Rewind now. Fred Hastings is online. Fred, good morning.
Simon, g'day. I'm hearing you're well cashed up after spruiking the prospect of Bling It On in the Hunter Cup. I hope you had something on.
Yeah, I didn't wind up backing it. I can find them when I don't bet. You know, that's the problem.
That's the key to success, you think?
Yeah, I know. It's easy enough to tip them, but making money off them is another thing, and that's what lets me down.
I had a lot of people ask me my tip, and I said I think Bling It On will run a place without any doubt if you can get the right odds. You know, I'm not sure whether he can win it. He'll need the right run. He got that. It was a terrific drive by Luke. And and like you, my cash stayed put. And I was lamenting about 5 minutes after the race when I realised I didn't have a cracker on it.
Yeah, well, just having a chat about the Hunter Cup from last night, Freddie, Smolder, did he just do too much work early?
I think, it's hard to tell. I think so. I think it amplifies the run of Lenny the Shark. I think the way he stayed on, there was only a couple of metres between Lenny and Smolder at the end of the race, but I thought Lenny's run was terrific. I thought it was a clever drive by Luke. He found the lead, handed up, and he was always going to be a hope on the sprint lane, and that's exactly how it evolved. Well done to Team Tritton with Yaya's Hotspot, won the feature race at Goulburn only, 6 days earlier, and then went down and ran second in a Hunter Cup, and what a moment it would have been for young Chris Geary running second in a Group 1. I think it was only his second or third Group 1 drive. So big moment for young Chris, but Bling It On, take nothing away. He's always been, a top-line horse. He's raced in many races without a great deal of luck, and I think most pointed of that statement would be his fourth in the Inter-Dominion in Perth back in December, where he got stuck behind a tiring horse, or a horse that choked down. And, he's just really putting it together now, this horse, and he's really going to be there come Miracle Mile Day in some way, shape or form. He's an entire. He's six now, and he's just racing with a great deal of pizzazz. I really like the horse, but there's a lot to like about the Hunter Cup form, and it really points towards some great racing coming up on the 18th at Menangle with the two sprint runoffs for the Miracle Mile.
Well, it was a quiet night for Mark Purden last night. He had five winners last week, but last night he didn't register his first win until the four-year-old Bonanza, where thankfully for his sake, Lazarus was able to get the job done, and in doing so, we'll head to the Chariots.
Yeah, look, we're going to chat with Natalie Rasmussen. Of course, Natalie handled the Sydney All-Stars team for two wins, two starters, two wins. A contrasting tale of fortunes in Melbourne. It's a funny thing. You can go to the races and you can think, on paper, you should walk away with five, potentially six wins, as was the case with the All-Stars last night, but it didn't evolve that way, and things happen in racing. Vincent, who probably, went into the Derby, you would have, taken it as a given that it would have won the Derby based on its performances, copped a whack on a tyre, near-side sulky wheel came adrift of the rim, and Mark Purden had no option but to pull the horse up. However, in saying that, their second-string runner, Moto Meteor, ran second in the Derby. So, you know, that race was a tale of two fortunes. But, yeah, it was a mixed night, and it'll be interesting if I, you know, when we chat to Nat, just to see how the horses pulled up. Have faith in me, ran second, doing work outside them. Lazarus, he did the job. Smolder, we've sort of, you know, speculated he may have done just a bit too much work, you know, in the run in over the trip and was taken on and had to work to get to the lead. They did win the trot, the last race with Prince Fearless, so they had two winners, a Piccadilly Princess, a half-neck defeat in the Ladyship Cup. So, yeah, look, mixed bag, but that's racing. And I know Mark Purden and Nat have been around long enough to know that whilst you might look like you're a chance of winning, you know, five, six, seven, eight races on paper, you don't win them on paper, you win them on the track. Mm. And that's racing.
Yeah, we're still trying to get in touch with Natalie Rasmussen, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll get her online in just a moment. But
sure.
Party on now. Looks pretty hard. Will be pretty hard to beat in the Oaks.
Yeah, look, did everything we expected. She's 7 for 7. It'll be interesting to compare Party On with Our Dream About Me, who went into the Oaks series last year. I think it was she'd won, I think, 10 from 10 leading into the Oaks series, or 9 from 9. I'll never forget it, because she was the horse that I needed to win the last race to allow me to tip the card. And I thought if ever I was going to stop an undefeated horse, it might have been that situation. But Our Dream About Me didn't let us down. So it'll be interesting to see how Party On rates by comparison, having now won 7 from 7. She was put in a lovely trailing position by Nat, sat in the 1-1, and was just too good for them. And as you say, Simon, leads into the Oaks and looking to have a mortgage hold on. Although I reiterate what I said last week, I am a wrap for Don't Think Twice, and she's a nice filly. But Party On, I think they've met just the once now, and Party On holds a margin over Don't Think Twice. But don't write off the Jason Grimson filly. She's a pretty nice filly.
So what is the schedule over the next few weeks? We've got the Chariots coming up next Saturday. When's the Oaks run?
Okay, well, with the Chariots on, and you're right, it's next week. The field is Salty Robin, Stanley Ross Robin, Arm of the Gun, Sam's the Master, Dash of Luck, Matt Gregor, Anything for Love, and Our Waikiki Beach. Now, they ran 1-4 in the Hondo Grattan and the Parfait Sadios sprints. Then the Bonanza winner from last night, Lazarus, and Let's Chase the Dream also having qualified. So that's the field. The barrier draw takes place tomorrow at 11 a.m. for the Chariots, and I think it's a very absorbing, will be a very absorbing barrier draw to watch and see how the marbles fall, because Lazarus looked a little strange on that final bend at Melton last night. Tribute to Mark Purden, he didn't panic, he didn't bustle the horse to try and get him out after the leader. He let him flatten and balance once he hit the straight proper, and then Lazarus did what we expected him to do. But if he draws wide and has to work and is planted out wide to make his run coming for home, it'll be interesting to see how well he winds up in the straight. So I think the barrier draw is crucial. We then move on to the 18th of February, where we've got the two Group 1 sprints. Now, first and second from those races go into the Miracle Mile. We've also got the... in terms of that night, the heats of the Oaks. There's also heats of the Derby, and a qualifier for the Ladyship. That's the Robin Dundee at Group 2 level. So that's on the 18th, and then we head, of course, to the 25th, and there's six Group 1 races on that night, including the Miracle Mile. The Miracle Mile pathway, Simon, it's going to be interesting. First and second automatically get in from the two sprints, so there's four runners. The Chariots winner gets in, so there's five. That leaves three spots. Now, last year, the directors offered an invitation to a second four-year-old in Arms of an Angel, who put up an amazing performance in the Chariots to run third, and she duly went on to run third in the Miracle Mile. So the line of thinking could well be that we may end up with two horses from the Chariots as well, maybe even a third, depending on who, you know, how they run. And then you've got the rest of the field made up from horses that participated in the two sprints running from third back. So that's the way the schedule shapes up over the next couple of weeks, but it really is promising to be a great race next week. Could be, you know we're getting to see Lazarus in Sydney for the first time, and I'm already counting the sleeps, mate.
I wonder what price the tab.com.au fixed odds will go up. Lazarus, would you think $1.40? Is that around the ballpark, do you reckon?
Oh, gee, look, I really think a lot more will be clearer, and I'm stating the bleeding obvious here, after the barrier draw. I think, you know, wherever Lazarus draws in relation to Salty Robin, I think that's key. I would have suspected perhaps, Lazarus might have been about $1.60 chance, $1.50 chance pre-barrier, but depends where he draws. If he draws a nice marble, he might come in as tight as $1.40 or $1.35. It's really, I really think the barrier draw is going to be critical.
Listening to that, watching that, I was watching that race on Sky last night, the four-year-old Bonanza, and I think if you had been listening to it in your car, you would have been worried, because Dan's call had you thinking before the turn that he was in a bit of trouble, but watching the race on screen, you kind of felt that he was always going to win. What did you think, Fred?
Well, look, I echo your sentiments. I think, and I listen to, you know, I suppose being a race caller, I'm used to watching the race and listening to the call, and I quite frankly thought Dan was being on the mark. I was concerned on the turn, or just approaching the turn, that Lazarus didn't seem to be travelling well on the bends. But, as I said, I think tribute to Purden, he didn't try and chase him out after the lead horses. He let the horse just get around the bend and then knew he had the cattle to let down and go home and score. So I really think... Yeah, you're right. Listening to the call, you might have thought there was an issue. Watching it, I still felt, geez, he's not getting around this bend good. But, you know, Mark Purden knew what he had, and he let the horse down, and it did the rest. It was a terrific performance.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to have any luck getting Natalie on this morning, but we might as well take in a replay of the feature race from last night, Freddie, and your call of the Group 3 Brian Hancock Cup, which was taken out by, of course, Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen.
Let's Chase the Dream, getting a little more serious, starts to set out after this leader, Blazin' and Cullen, gets to within a head. Third on the outside, poised is Shannon's a Blast, and then came St. Flash, and the next one is Saloon Passage as they come to the home bend. 400 left to go, 28-6 the split, the leader still is Blazin' and Cullen, but here comes Let's Chase the Dream. Nat says go, and look at it go, it quickly puts up two on Shannon's a Blast, Saloon Passage, Aztec Bromac runs home resolutely, and then came Monofeet, but it's Let's Chase the Dream, 100 metres left to go. It's well clear. Aztec Bromac finishes on very stoutly at the back end. In front, close to home, Let's Chase the Dream. Just had to be livened up the last 50, but it's gone home to score. Second, Aztec Bromac. Third home was Saloon Passage.
Yeah, pretty impressive win there at $1.40. That's how you like to see them do it, isn't it, Fred?
Simon, exactly right. I think critical there was the way Nat drove the horse. Now, we saw it come out the preceding week and break 150. Obviously, they weren't out to try and smash the clock last night because they've got a pretty big date next Saturday night. Nat got around the outside and she set outside Blazin' and Cullen, and I really think controlled the race from the chair. She allowed the tempo to be exactly what she wanted, to allow her horse the best possible finishing position. When it was time to cut the ribbons, she said go at the top of the straight, and the horse had an acceleration. But look, even though Ed only won by 2 metres, and tribute to Aztec Bromac really finishing hard the last little bit from a minute back. It's a nice pony, Aztec Bromac, but Let's Chase the Dream, you know, Nat just shaking it up just before the line, and, you know, it responded, and, you know, he might have even wanted to turn off a little bit. If we could have got hold of Nat, would have been good to see if he's a bit of a bludger, you know. Once he gets to the front, he sort of wants to, you know, just... you know, the job's done and just switch off a bit, because she did have to liven him up. But look, he's a quality animal. He's a sub-150 winner at the track, and he'll go into the chariots not to be underestimated. And All-Stars have got three in the race. They've got our Waikiki Beach, who probably leading into the series going back a few weeks ago, you would have thought would have been right up there to contest the race with Lazarus. I think now he's probably the third string of the All-Stars team, in my opinion.
So it's been a great move heading to New Zealand for Nat. How long's she been over there now?
Oh, gee, it'd be, I'd say, 4 or 5 years now. And it's just a great setup. They've just got a great setup. And I think I said it last week, and the reason we may be having some difficulty getting Nat, and we did confirm that she'd be able to come on a little while ago, but that she's at the sales, the APG sales in Melbourne. And Mark Purden has this amazing eye for animals, for horse flesh. He's just got this amazing eye, and they will no doubt spend up at the sales, and you'll see the next crop evolve over the next couple of years of the Lazaruses and the Have Faith in Me's. It's just like a never-ending factory, but it's all due to the the masterful eye that Mark Purden has for spotting a horse.
And he had Brett Mangos driving for him last night, I noticed, at Melton. So he's brought one of his mates over from New Zealand.
Yeah, look, he's going to... Well, as I said, there's three in the race. Who he gets to drive, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Mark will drive Lazarus. Nat's been a great partner of our Waikiki Beach over the time, but it may well be that Nat will take the drive on Let's Chase the Dream. Now, Luke McCarthy's driven our Waikiki Beach quite a bit too, so again, it'll be interesting to see whether they give the drive to Luke or one of their stable team. But it's going to be a good race. And that's the big one next week.
Yeah, so what's coming up over the next 7 days, Freddie, aside from the chariots?
All right, well, we've got the Canberra Cup tonight, this afternoon, and we've got Orange racing at Towak Park. Now, that is harness racing on the racetrack, the galloping track, at Orange, and we haven't seen grass track racing in New South Wales since the demise of the Richmond track back in 1998. Bankstown race tomorrow, then we've got Menangle and Young Tuesday, Bathurst Wednesday, Penrith Thursday, Tamora Friday, and on Saturday there's a non-tabber at Broken Hill. Newcastle will race, and I've mentioned the Chariots Group 1 at $200,000, the Sebelia at Group 2 level for the mares, that's a qualifier for the Ladyship Mile, which happens on Miracle Mile Day or night, and the Group 3, there's a Group 3 Trotters. Just quickly, Simon, just some other news, just to quickly share. We mentioned Luke McCarthy. That was his first Hunter Cup. All of the majors he's won, that was his first Hunter Cup, so he's very thrilled. I touched on the Canberra Cup. Sapria goes around with a real Raiders flavour. Jared Croker, Ricky Stewart, Luke Bateman, Shannon Boyd, Elliot Whitehead and Sam Williams all involved in the ownership of Sapria, and a few of those boys. I know Jared Croker, I'm pretty sure he'll be at the track. Team Tritton, they are now training a horse for cricketer Chris Lynn called Lynn Sanity, so good to have a cricketer getting involved in the sport. We've got, you know, members of the Raiders footy team. There's an AFL player who's got a horse with Jared Alchin, and of course now we've got an Australian cricketer with a harness horse. And Team Teal, supporting the Women's Cancer Foundation, the ladies over the next 5 weeks decked out in teal driving pants to support the Women's Cancer Foundation. And the fund was pretty much kicked off on Thursday at Penrith in New South Wales when Steph Lippi had won, and of course able to add to the cause. And then, of course, we had Ellen Rixton, and of course, last night, Nat with a double, and Kerry Ann Turner drove a winner. So the teal pants for the ladies, adding to the cause, fighting cancer, Women's Cancer Foundation, and research into ovarian cancer.
Yeah,
and that's about all I've got, I think.
Yeah, good. That runs right through until about March 11, doesn't it?
Yeah, early March. Yeah, I think it's a five-week period. And the good thing is it was an initiative adopted by Harness Racing New South Wales for the first time last year. It had been run in another state previously, but... they raised nearly $50,000 last year.
Yeah,
it's a great cause, and I did read during the week that South Australia, they got on board with the idea as well, and I think their board's donating $100 for every win. So, look, it's a really good thing. It also, you know, it promotes, gets the cause out there, and at the same time raises some funds. So I'll be cheering for the ladies in teal over the next 5 weeks.
Absolutely, good on you, Freddie. Thanks for your help this morning, and. Enjoy, Chariots Night next Saturday, and we'll chat again this time next week.
As I said, mate, I've got the calendar. I'm marking off the days.
Thanks very much, Fred.
Cheers, Simon.
Okay, it's 12 minutes to 11. We'll take a break, and then Stuart Turner with this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
The Queen of Australian Racing, Winx, goes in.
Where will you be when Winx makes her stunning return to the track in 2017? Get to Royal Randwick or Rose Hill Gardens this racing season to experience the thrill and excitement of live racing.
And they're racing.
See the champions of the sport battle it out for ultimate glory. Who will trump the best of the best? Or will Winx continue her winning streak? Make sure you're on track to find out and be part of the action. Visit www.theatc.com.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school, or in your own backyard, and help raise funds for McGrath breast cancer in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstubbsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
Summer Harness Racing on Sky Sports Radio brings out the very best.
Reigning champions do battle against the rising stars as we count down to Miracle Mile Day on February 25. Every Tuesday morning at 10:30, On the Pace has all the key players passing on vital information for the week ahead. The best in harness racing is on Sky Sports Radio.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
A couple of stars were shining last night at Wentworth Park, that's for sure. We've got Stewie Turner on the line. Stewie, good morning to you.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Yeah, good, Stu. Last night at Wentworth Park, a tremendous night with the finals of the National Futurity and the Derby.
Yeah, that's right. It was absolutely wonderful to be at Wentworth Park last night for those two Group 1 finals, as you mentioned there. And look, Simon, we've had some wonderful wins in these big races over the last 12 months by some of the less fancied greyhounds out there. And we got another one last night. Big Daddy B producing a terrific late charge to pit Nangar Rock and win the Group 1 National Derby. A first Group 1 win for his trainer, Ray Smith. And look, Ray is normally a pretty cool customer, but I can tell you he was a really happy man after the final last night. And why wouldn't you be? A great win for him and Big Daddy B.
Racing Lightning Frank Dwelder, Nangar Rock came out humming. He's leading on settling down over Lightning Frank, Black Hole Sun moving up with the run. The inside Big Daddy B. They were followed up by Judy Free. Back in the field was Good Odds Bricky and hit the highway back at the rear. Down the back, Nangar Rock by two to Big Daddy B, who's knuckling down. Four to Black Hole Sun, then Lightning Frank, Judy Free. They swing the leader, Nangar Rock. Big Daddy B coming. Big Daddy B grabbing Nangar Rock. Big Daddy B won the Derby. Beat home Nangar Rock, Lightning Frank third. They were followed in by Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, so Big Daddy B there, too good in the Derby over Nangar Rock. Lightning Frank, a little disappointing, you reckon, Stu, running third?
Yeah, maybe. He just paid for a bit of a slow start there, really dwelt in the boxes, Simon, but look, he still rattled home to finish third. But there hasn't been much spotlight on Big Daddy B, even though he had box one, and I must admit, I wasn't sure that he could run the time to cope with the best here, but gee, certainly proved me wrong. Nangar Rock, a valiant second there. And look, Ray Smith told me afterwards, Big Daddy B will probably have a crack at the Group 2 Richmond Derby heat, which are coming up next month. He's got to be a big chance in those. And look, as I said, it's a great win for Ray Smith, and I'm so happy for him, Simon. He comes all the way from Forbes in the New South Wales Central West when he comes to Wentworth Park for these races. So, obviously, always got a long drive. It's a really well-deserved success for him. And, I'm just so happy for him. Good on you, Ray.
OK, so that was the Derby. We had the Futurity on as well for the Bitches. And Strike a Light to Too Good History.
Yeah, there was no luck for the Victorians in the Derby. But in the Futurity, they had success, as you said there. Strike a Light really producing a faultless performance from Fox One to win the Futurity. She jumped superbly, got the lead at the first turn and got the job done. Well done to Brett Bravo, her trainer, and Strike a Light.
Racing, Strike a Light and Uphill Jewel both began cleanly, showing speed. Mainline Ostie, Strike a Light is going to go through to lead by three over Uphill Jewel, going to second. They'll follow by Andrea Doria, then Mainline Ostie. They'll follow it up by Daithy Allen, Princess Pout, Red Caliber and Jody Lee Cade at the rear. Strike a Light has gone for home in the Futurity, led by five over Uphill Jewel, who can't hold on to her. Strike a Light goes all the way by 2.5 to Uphill Jill. Daithy Allen third ahead of Andrea Doria, followed in by Mainline Ossie.
And that was what the market suggested there, Stu. 230 and 260 for Uphill Jill and Strike a Light, and they cleared out from the rest there. Although Uphill Jill was the one that you tipped to win there, didn't you?
Yeah, I certainly did. And look, it was a good run from Uphill Jill, but I think you've just got to tip your cap, Simon, to Strike a Light. That was an absolutely textbook run from box one there. I think probably showing the value of preparation, because she's had a few looks at Wentworth Park these last few weeks, so she was certainly used to the track, and it paid off last night. Running 29.74 as well, that was a great effort. A richly deserved success for Brett Bravo. He's been coming up to New South Wales from Victoria pretty much constantly these last few months with the likes of Strike a Light and Ben Teke, so he's got his reward. And I think Strike a Light next going to go for the Australian Cup. Uphill Jill, I think her trainer, David Gill, told me afterwards, Simon, that she's going to have a look at the Richmond Oaks, which come up next month. So she'll be back in New South Wales for that, and she'll certainly be a big chance in that series, you've got to think.
Okay, now in Western Australia last night at Cannington, we had a couple of feature races, a couple of Group 1s, and the Sky Racing Perth Cup not going the way we thought it might. We were pretty keen on Paul Stewart's runner, AstroZone, and it wound up running fifth, I noticed. Equanimity at double-figure odds grabbing the cash.
Yeah, that's right. It was a big night over in Cannington with those two Group 1 races. And yeah, as you mentioned there, Simon, a surprise win in the Group 1 Sky Racing Perth Cup, Equanimity. A $14 chance taking that one out for Enzo Crudelli. And yeah, as you mentioned, I thought this was between AstroZone and Single Sticker, but neither of those two getting much of a look in. A great run by Equanimity from box one in that one. And a first Group 1 title for Enzo Crudelli, so another of the battlers getting a great win there. Well done to Enzo. He's a great character, and look, it's great to see him getting a super win. And in the Group 1 Sky Racing Galaxy, Bogey Beckin, the South Australian stayer, defeated Trip to Eden, my tip there, in an absolute thriller. Bogey Beckin holding off Trip to Eden, who was powering home. And Bogey Beckin winning there for trainer Ben Rawlings. Well done to Ben and Connections. Another trainer getting a reward for a long trip there, Simon.
And the consolation to the Perth Cup, incidentally, went to West on Maisie for Chris Halls. Right, now we've got a couple of Group 3s coming up this week, Stu.
We do. The action certainly doesn't stop this week. On Thursday, it's the Queensland Cup over the 600 metres up at Albion Park. Look, I've got to go with Cindy's Magic for box 8 in this one, Simon. 105 starts, but still racing absolutely superbly for Bill Elson. What a job he's done with Cindy's Magic. And on Saturday, it's the Cranbourne Cup down in Victoria. This one looks an absolute cracker. Jason Thompson, that man again, he's got three chances in this one. But I'm going to go with a greyhound who we've spoken a lot about this last year or so on Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Dundee Osprey, who's reached yet another group final. I think Dundee Osprey from box 4 will win the Cranbourne Cup down there in Victoria. If that wasn't enough, Simon, we've got the Group 2 Launceston Cup semis on Tuesday. Two to watch in this one. I'm going to go with Pantera Nera, who has box 6 in the second semi-final, and Nangar Range, box 8 in the third semi. Those are two of my picks in the semi-finals for that one.
Okay, Stu, and what's happening around New South Wales over the next week?
Yeah, we've got another great week of racing coming up. We've got the Twilight meeting at Canberra today. Tomorrow, it's Nowra at Grafton, and a super meeting at Bathurst with the Bathurst Gold Cup Heat. Little Nangar, my pick for this series, I think. Tuesday, it's Goulburn, Gosford and Lismore. Wednesday, they jump at Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday, it's Maitland and Dapto. Friday, we've got a busy day. It's Casino, the Gardens, Richmond and Wagga. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Wentworth Park and Full Eye. So plenty to enjoy again. I'm really looking forward to this week. And, of course, for your fields form and expert picks, check out thedogs.com.au.
Always good to chat to you, Stewie. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll catch you next week.
Take care, mate.
Shortly, we'll preview harness racing at Canberra with Courtney Rees, but we do have a harness race coming up now from Wyndham in New Zealand. This is the second, and 2L Capitan is at $3.20.
To rock and roll throughout the whole trip, so I don't know whether they'll do that. But however, if they do, they will play into the hands of 300 and Joe Batters. It's a good-looking horse, that 300, isn't he? Big, strong bloke. Anyway, we're about to find out. It's the Better Than Cheddar at Alabama Mobile Pace. The favourite here is El Capitan. He's having its first race day start. $3.20, $1.50. Mobile on the move. It has the two spot to go from, with Lucene Less on its inside. Ted Cady in the second line is right behind him. Also in the second line, American Magic. The Coru colours on display again today in Southern Suzuki. And putting up the money for the Coru kids today, so big thumbs up to those guys. Back behind him is Joe Batters. Unruly Spot is about four lengths behind them. We've got a good line up front here as the ITM Mobile gets them down towards the 2,400 second of the afternoon. Nearly there. They're there now. Off they go now, and blasting out is R&R Windermere from the three spot, head straight to the top. Lusane Les, not rushed out, takes the trail. Big Smoke next on the outside, right in between runners to El Capitan. Over on the outside of that, Delight and Gold is three wide. Back along the markers, Ted Cady, Magnate Mara next on the outside, and Eckaway. On its back is American Magic, about to slot for cover. Behind that is Southern Lights. Gunslinger Bromac a bit rough and behind those goes to the back of the field with Joe Batters. Up ahead of those is 300 and Evangeline Franco, who makes up some solid leeway in a vacant space along the markers. Big Smoke made it round to the lead, about to swing into the lane from R&R Windermere, right behind in the trail Delight and Gold left part, right behind it El Capitan.